invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to turn to Ruth chapter 3 this morning. We'll be continuing through the book of Ruth, looking at Ruth chapter 3. We'll go ahead and read our passage in its entirety, and then we'll go ahead and dive in. Ruth chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And what she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now is it true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay down at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." She held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the word of the Lord. Well, today marks our 3rd Sunday in Advent. Advent is the season leading up to Christmas, where we look back on the birth of Christ and we look forward to his coming, his second coming. We've been looking at the story of Ruth, and like Christmas, it's a story about waiting and anticipation. It's been teaching us what it looks like to wait when things don't go as planned, or when life turns an unexpected corner. The story of Ruth is set in tragedy. It's set in loss and in a journey where the characters don't know exactly where they will end up. But throughout the story, we have seen glimmers of hope peek through, in which God has let us know he is present and still working. Christmas season helps us see some of our greatest desires, like hope and joy and love and belonging. What our passage revealed to us this morning is another desire we have. And that desire is to secure for ourselves and others lasting rest or security. This desire for rest is something that we all have. A desire to feel secure, a desire to find a place of rest. We see this desire reveal itself in many ways in different areas of our lives. For some, you might desire financial security. For others, it might be a desire for relational security or even physical security. These different desires for security aren't bad, but the problem lies in the fact that in all of our work, and all of our strivings and planning to fulfill our desire for rest and security, it always always leads us longing for more. We aren't sure if we quite have enough money, so that worries us and we keep on working. Relationships come and go, and there will always be that striving to be liked and affirmed. What we need is a lasting rest that fulfills this deep desire of ours. So the question is, how do we go about seeking this lasting rest? Well, our passages this morning will show us three ways. First, we need to plan for rest. Secondly, we need to pursue rest. And lastly, we need to wait expectantly for our rest. So point number one, we need to plan for rest. This is verses 1 through 5. As we saw last week, Ruth has secured food for her and Naomi through the loyal kindness and generosity of Boaz. At the end of chapter 2, we find out that the special relationship Boaz has with Naomi and Ruth is one that makes him a redeemer. A redeemer, we saw in the Old Testament, was a close relative who was in the same clan as the family, who helped deliver a family member out of danger or hardship. And Boaz has done that for Ruth and Naomi to an extent by allowing Ruth to glean from his fields, provide food for her and Naomi. But this is only temporary. The question remains, will Ruth and Naomi find long-term deliverance? Will they find security or rest that will last? Well, this is the question, because this is exactly what Naomi desires for Ruth. Look at verse 1. We read, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?'" We see immediately in verse 1 Naomi's desire to seek rest for Ruth. This word for rest can be also translated as a resting place or security. So what does Naomi do once she reveals her desire for Ruth? Well, she takes that desire and starts to plan. That's what we see her doing in verses 2 through 4. Naomi starts planning because she recognizes an opportunity that is before them. All the grain Ruth has been gleaning has been great, but what happens after the harvest? There is an opportunity here for Naomi to make sure Ruth is taken care of for the long term. She is going to take it. So, why do we have to plan for rest? Well, planning for rest is not a foreign concept to us. I'm sure many of you have planned for vacations. And a vacation is, what is it? It's a type of rest. When you recognize that you need time off or a break from work or school, you begin to plan for time away. Right? I can't wait, right, till I get time off and we get to go and spend time with each other. And you begin to think through things like, you know, where are we going to go? When are we going to go? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do once we get there? What's our budget? You plan because you want to make sure that the time you have away counts. And it actually gives you a type of rest. Seeking rest for Ruth is a big deal. It could change her life. So Naomi must plan to make her rest count. When we seek rest or security in our lives, are you seeking after things that fulfill this desire in you? Or do you settle for temporary rest? Rest that might fulfill you for a moment, but leaves you wanting and needing more. In our passage, it's important to recognize who and what Naomi's plan includes. Naomi involves Boaz, their relative. Why? Because Naomi's plan involves preparing Ruth for a marriage proposal. All right, this is the scene, this is the setting behind chapter 3. You might seem an odd. What is Ruth doing? She's getting ready, right? She's putting on nice clothes, putting on perfume, and she's laying at this guy's feet. What is she doing? Well, she's getting ready to ask Boaz to marry her. To make your rest count, you must plan with the right solution in mind. Naomi is thinking of connecting Ruth with a covenant relationship, an institution that ideally offers a promise in the institution of marriage to protect and to provide for one another. When we look at the overarching story of the Bible, we can see where our desire for lasting rest comes from. It comes from God. God planned and created the world with rest in mind. On the seventh day of creation, we see God rested from all of his work. This concept of resting on the seventh day then made its way into the Ten Commandments, where God commanded his people to rest from all their work on the seventh day. We even see God's plan for rest by bringing his people out of exile and into the promised land, where they will find rest from their enemies and be blessed. There was even a plan for the land to receive rest every 7 years. By planning rest into his creation and instituting rest into his people's rhythms of life reveals to us that God is the one who's ultimately in control of our lives. And he is the one in whom our rest comes from. When we look at God's purposes for rest, he planned it in this way in the context of his covenant relationship with his people. God entered into a promise with his people to be their God, to look after them, to protect and to provide for them and nourish them. But for this rest to last, it depended upon their trust in him alone to be their God, which meant that their rest was dependent upon their obedience to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, before God leads his people into the promised land, he tells them about the blessings and curses within their covenant relationship with him. And God speaks about the curses that will come upon them if they rebel and disobey his law and his word. He warns them what will happen. And part of this covenant curse is exile from their land, that he would put them among other nations. And when that happens, God says, "And among these nations you will find no respite. There shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing eyes, and a languishing soul." With God, we find rest, and without him, we find the opposite. What do we find? We find, what he's to say, a trembling heart, a languishing soul, no resting place for our feet. When sin entered the world, it entered us.